In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, reading verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Xanthi. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be back in the building and with other people around. As we prayed before the service, I did feel very emotional to be praying with other people and in the building. It was very exciting. So it's great to be here. It's great that it's Easter Sunday. The colourful cross is outside with all the flowers on it. If you're taking a walk today or you're out and about, do look out for that, because it's just such a sign that if you live in Stahlbeck or if you're travelling through Stahlbeck, in the next few days, you cannot miss that it's Easter and that Jesus Christ is risen, with that wonderful, powerful, colourful statement outside our church building this morning. So this Monday and Tuesday, Sarah Leach and the Family Spot team did a fantastic Easter trail just outside the church here, through Belmont Field and into the little wooded area by the children's play park just there. And Ted and I came down on Monday. We had a fantastic time going around. There's a few pictures that hopefully you're going to see now. The first one is of Sarah and Beryl welcoming us as we picked up our special question sheet and we set out on our trail. So then we set off and we were looking for these special pictures that had been designed by the Bible Society. And each picture had a clue, something that the child had to look out for. So I think on this next picture you'll see that here's Ted counting how many people are listening to Jesus as Jesus speaks. And then there was this picture. And underneath this picture it said, "Jesus was nailed to a cross and killed. But it was all part of God's plan. He died because he loved us." And then there was a question at the bottom and it said this, "What shape can you see behind the cross?" And if you look, Ted was able to see, if you look behind the cross, there is the shape of a heart, a love heart. And it's such a lovely image, isn't it? Jesus died because he loved us. But it's not quite the complete story. If the good news was that Jesus died, well, that's not great news, is it? Jesus dying, Jesus, God's own son, Jesus, God himself, dying. That doesn't sound like great news. And of course, that isn't the end of the story. In our reading this morning, it is not that Jesus has died, but that Jesus rose from the dead. That is the good news. And so there was this next picture on our Easter trail. This is the good news. Mary, overjoyed to see Jesus, that Jesus is not dead, as she expected, but alive, walking and talking, something none of the disciples expected. There are two key symbols in the Easter story, the cross and the empty tomb. And of course, they are both important. You can't have the resurrection without the cross, and the cross is hopeless without the resurrection. I was talking the other week in my sermon about how the Christian faith holds both the pain and the joy of life. It doesn't deny how hard and painful life can be, but neither does it despair because life can be and often is hard and painful. It's healthy and normal to cry and weep, to call out and say, "This is not right, this is not fair." It is normal and human to feel depressed when life is pressing you down, or anxious when life is uncertain and fearful. And the cross shows us that Christ suffers with us. He weeps with us. He is near to us in our pain and suffering. He is with us in our pain and suffering. And the empty tomb shows us that there is always hope, that love wins, that love is stronger than death, that hope springs eternal, and that Jesus is alive. Being a disciple or a follower of Jesus is about both cross and resurrection. You can't have one without the other. And that's what gives us courage and hope. In some of my Bible study notes that I was reading in preparation for today's sermon, it said this: "The stone was not rolled away so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away so that others could see that he was not there." And it sounds sort of straightforward, but I'd never really thought about it like that before. Jesus could have got out even if the stone was there. The stone wasn't going to stop him. He didn't need it to be rolled away. The stone was not rolled away for Jesus' benefit. It was rolled away for our benefit, so that we could look in and see that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive. It's saying, look, Jesus is not dead. His body is not laid to rest. He is alive. He is alive and well. He has overcome death. It says that when the disciples saw that the tomb was empty and saw the linen cloths lying there, and particularly when they saw the linen that would have covered Jesus' dead body lying empty, then they believed. The empty tomb, the absence of Jesus' dead body, led them to believe. So the empty tomb is a symbol, a sign of the resurrection. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. He is alive. But how do we grasp this? How do we know it fully? And more importantly, how does it affect how we live? How do we live in the truth that Jesus, that death is defeated, that sin and evil have been overcome? Because it can seem that nothing has changed. Before the Easter event, before the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, people lived and died. Some people were kind and loving, others were mean and evil. All kinds of human achievements happened, but also all kinds of horrific events happened. And then Jesus came to earth. He lived, he walked about, he taught. Some people listened and turned their lives around. Lots of people didn't listen and remained the same. He was arrested, accused of blasphemy, he was tortured, he was killed. And then he was buried and he came back to life. He met with his disciples in his risen form and he then ascended to heaven. But after that moment, life seemed to pretty much carry on as normal, didn't it? People lived and died. Some people were kind and loving, others were mean and evil. All kinds of achievements happened and all kinds of horrific events happened. And here we are today. And fundamentally, when someone dies, from this side of heaven anyway, they're not here, are they? They're not with us. We grieve for them. They're dead. And even if we hope and believe they are now alive with God, either with a faltering faith or with a certain belief, they're still gone from us. The grief is still painful and real. So what has really changed? Well, here is what Tom Wright says about this passage in his commentary from the book John for Everyone. I'm just going to read a segment from here. So he's writing about this morning's reading. He says, "This passage gives us a moment when it becomes clear to the careful reader of John's Gospel that something extraordinary has taken place. Not only to Jesus, though that's extraordinary enough, but to the way the world is, the way God is, the way God and the disciples now are. Up to this point, Jesus has spoken about God as the Father, or the Father who sent me, or my Father. He has called his followers disciples, servants, and friends. But now all that has changed. Feel the force of verse 17. Go and say to my brothers that I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Something has altered decisively. Something has been achieved. A new relationship has sprung to life like a sudden spring flower. The disciples are welcomed into a new world, a world where they can know God the way Jesus knew God, where they can be intimate children with their Father. They can be, in other words, true Israelites at last. Israelites' calling was to be God's son, God's firstborn. Israel struggled with this vocation. The idea survives in various Old Testament writings and in subsequent Jewish thought. But there was a sense that if Israel really was God's child, an estrangement had taken place. When Jesus told the story of a son who went off in disgrace into a far country, so the story of the prodigal son, his hearers knew what he was talking about. But now Jesus has broken through the exile. He has made a way back from the ultimate far country, death itself, a way back to the Father's house. And everyone who follows Jesus is welcome there in his name as a beloved son or daughter. So Tom Wright is telling us there that everything has changed. Though it may seem on the surface as we look around that the world is still full of evil and death is still all around us, but actually, because of the resurrection, everything has changed. Firstly, our relationship with God. We are now daughters and sons. We belong. We have a purpose and a hope. We're still in this world because this is where God wants us to be, and this is where God is. The cross and resurrection have made a way for us to come back to the Father. We are part of the family again. Death is still here, but it has lost its power because it no longer has the final say. Evil and suffering are still around us, but they have the potential to be transformed into grace and beauty. And it happens here, and it happens now. We're not just waiting for the world to come. We are joining with God to bring it about in our homes and our schools, our places of work, in our creativity, our friendships and our families, in our thoughts and actions, in our words and prayers. Hope and grace and peace and love and joy, all springing out of this new creation, us created new in Christ. Death, violence and destruction do not have the final word. God has the final word, and the final word is resurrection, eternal hope. All that seems lost and broken and without hope can now be redeemed and renewed. The new dawn of Easter morning is not just a pretty picture. It is a sign of all that resurrection means. And I think Peter, who Jesus calls the rock, sums it up wonderfully in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. He writes this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope because Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive, so our hope is alive. Let me pray for us this Easter Sunday. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that it wasn't just a particular moment in history, but it was the moment in history that changed everything. Lord, help us to live as resurrection people. May we be alive with that hope inside of us. May it shape how we face our disappointments. May it shape how we face our challenges. May it face how we respond to injustice and evil. May it change us fundamentally as individuals and corporately as the church, your people. Help us to live out this resurrection hope. In Jesus' name, amen.